Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by nobody.
Welcome in to another edition of Dave and Ryan's movie review. Are you ready for this?
I am. You know, besides Easter, you know what else it is?
What?
It's WrestleMania.
It's WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, big to-do and goings on. Now, I was told that there is a really cool documentary. Is it on Peacock?
Yes.
Jordan says I need to watch the documentary, that it was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, though.
I don't either, but I'll watch it. If it's a good documentary, I'll watch it. Yeah. And this is basically...
Jordan claims he's not a wrestling fan, but he comes to us with all this wrestling stuff.
Well, he watches those things, too, and it really deals with what it was, the first WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where this one is.
Yep.
And the guy from Caesars basically told Vince McMahon, we're not selling any tickets. You need to figure out a way to get Hulk Hogan in this.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. So, other than that, how's your week?
Super duper. A little cold, but yeah.
This is third winter, I think, we're experiencing now. But it is Easter weekend, and that's what we have to deal with around these parts when it's Easter weekend, is the weather turns to crap.
Yeah, it usually gets a little rainy, a little windy, a lot windy.
It might even get a little snowy.
Oh, well, it was hailing on Thursday on my way to work. It wasn't like the big hail. It was like the small one.
Utah weather's awesome. I love Utah weather. All right, we got a lot to get into today. So are you ready to get started?
No, but let's do it anyway.
All right, first up, let's go to Hollywood. Now, this one kind of snuck up on me. I mean, I had heard stuff about it, but have you heard about this Madden movie?
No, I saw the documentary.
Okay, so this is going to be a movie. It's directed by David O. Russell, who directed American Hustle and Silver Linings Playbook. Mm-hmm. And it really deals with post-Raiders life and EA coming to him about creating the phenomenon which would become the Madden video game.
Really?
Yes. Quite an interesting cast. Nicolas Cage is set to play John Madden.
What?
I'm just saying.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Catherine Hahn will play his wife. Christian Bale will be Al Davis. And Sienna Miller will play Al Davis's wife. And then just announced the other day, John Mulaney's going to be in this one as an upper-level executive for EA, or Electronic Arts. So that one is just it's in pre-production. It hasn't even started filming yet. So that should be interesting to see Nicolas Cage as John Madden.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about NFL, we got to talk about college too.
Okay.
Because on this week, one of the greatest college commentators ever is retiring.
Uh-huh.
Corso is retired.
Lee Corso. Well, Lee Corso's had health issues too.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. But yeah, Lee Corso doesn't have his own video game though.
He should. Since they reintroduced the NCAA, it used to be the Corso.
We were just talking about this the other day. We talked about Madden and you know, Madden has, they've almost made Madden unplayable.
Yeah, because you got to purchase everything.
Well, and that, not only that, you know, you got to press this button to do this and this button to do that, and they've made it overcomplicated.
Yeah,
that's why the college football one, we were so glad when they came back out with that one, because that's a fun one.
Yeah.
You can just play football with that one. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this one. Once again, Madden, directed by David O. Russell, starring Nicolas Cage and Christian Bale.
I just can't see Nicolas Cage playing John Madden.
I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how well him and Christian Bale work together.
Now who's Christian Bale supposed to be in this
Al
one?
Davis.
Okay. Yeah, and... Who's John Mulaney being?
John Mulaney is an upper level executive for Electronic Arts that's trying to get him to go ahead and say, yes, let's do this.
So this is only focusing on the video game aspect.
Well, it focuses on his life after he gets fired from the Raiders and then when he goes into commentary, but it's mostly focused on the building of the game.
Well, after the Raiders, didn't he go coach the Cowboys for a little bit?
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm. No, he was the Raiders. He won a Super Bowl and
Huh. Okay.
Interesting. Interesting, to say the least. Then this one just came out on Thursday. Sam Neill is on board for the next Godzilla Kong movie.
Who's he going to be?
Well, it's said to introduce several new human characters, so there you go, alongside Godzilla and Kong as they face off against a cataclysmic world-ending threat. Aren't they all?
Yeah.
When you have to call King Kong and Godzilla, it better be a cataclysmic world threat.
So in the last one, Mothra was reborn.
Yeah.
So is she going to play a part in it too?
I don't know. They're not saying. But it includes a cast. He joins a cast that's got Matthew Modine, Delroy Lindo, and Dan Stevens in it. Dan Stevens is coming back from the one that we just saw last year.
Yeah.
So I didn't hate that movie. That movie was pretty good. And you know why?
Like I didn't see Godzilla versus Kong, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one last year was decent.
You know why it was good?
Why?
Pocket sand.
Pocket sand, yes.
So I had fun with it. It was a fun movie. It'll be interesting to see what's next. But yeah, it has to be a cataclysmic world-ending threat or they don't even get out of bed for it.
I wonder if it's like Contra or... no, they wouldn't do... Mega Godzilla.
Wasn't Mecha Godzilla in the one previous to the last one?
I have no idea.
Or was it the last one?
There has been so many Godzilla movies that has come out in the last few years. That, you know, plus the TV series.
Yep. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I don't like Godzilla either. He destroys cities.
Well, just Tokyo.
Well, okay. I wonder what tariffs would be like then. All right.
No.
So let's get into this part of it. Projections for this week. Sinners, the new Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler movie comes out this week. It's about, he plays twin brothers.
Yeah.
And this movie is getting unbelievable reviews. Like over a 90% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It looks good and people are really loving this one.
I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't either. Projection is $40 to $50 million this week. So what are you thinking? Now remember, it's quiet right now. You've got Minecraft's been out for a couple of weeks. Even though we'll get into how much they did. Last week was not a bad week for the Minecraft movie either.
No.
So
it is Easter weekend, so it's a big movie weekend. I watched the trailer the other day. It looks very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say 35.
Okay. I'm going to go even lower and say 30. I'm going to, you know, you've got a couple of other choices out there that are more family oriented. So we're going to go with that. All right. The box office for week ending April 13th, number 5, number 4, number 3, and number 2 were all new to the box office.
Mm-hmm.
So Drop. Now, this movie looks really good. Made $7.3 million, $8.3 million at number 4 for Warfare. The Amateur came in with $14.8 million. We'll talk about that. That was what Jason and Josh and I did for last week's, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. The King of Kings, the movie we're reviewing today, comes in at number 2 with $19.3 million. And a Minecraft movie comes in with another $78.5 million, bringing its total to $278.8 million. Lots of crazy stuff going on in theaters with this one. There was actually a student in Provo that took and it's the theater that we go to quite often, the one right there at the Provo Town Center, the Cinemark Theater, took a live chicken into the movie theater.
Of course they would.
Mm-hmm. So when I was talking to the theater owners here, she said they have had kids here that were throwing popcorn. And there have been some theaters upstate, I would assume maybe even Provo now, that are, you cannot go see it without your parent. So you don't act a fool, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is sad if that's what you've got to resort to. Okay, so the projection last week was the amateur, the Rami Malek and Lawrence Fishburne movie. They projected it to do $14 million, so it did beat projection with $14.8
million. Ooh.
Not bad. I came in at 12 because I thought that parents may take, you know, get it out of the way now. Parents may take and drop their kids off to see Minecraft, and they'll go see this one. And Josh did said 9. Jason came in at 10. So we were all fairly close right in there in that little spot there.
Were you, though?
I thought so. I was only off by $2 million. And if you're talking millions, what's 2 million?
Yeah, what's 2 million?
You've already hit 12. What's two more?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it looks like a good film. And there's a lot of great films that are coming out. You know, like I said, Sinners is coming out. And then we're going to be in May. It's 2 weeks away from the Thunderbolts.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May. That's right. Roses are red and the sky's sometimes gray. But
just stop.
In a couple of weeks.
Just stop.
It's going to be May.
Just stop.
All right. So today, as I said, we're going to review The King of Kings, the new animated feature from Angel Studios about the life and death of Jesus Christ. Then, since it's Easter weekend, we're going to talk some kids' Easter movies and some grown-up Easter movies. I was going to say adult Easter movies, but I thought that would be bad.
Yeah, let's talk. I think I downloaded the wrong Passion of the Christ.
That's right. So we're going to talk kids' Easter and adults' Easter when we come back after the review of King of Kings. We'll do that when we return on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
Hey guys, it's time to get into the review section of Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. And we went and saw the Angel Studios release of The King of Kings. Now, Angel Studios, we've seen quite a few of their movies.
Yes, we have.
And they're starting to get, I would say, well, Ryan brought up a really good point because they have a lot of big name stars in this one. But anybody will show up if you pay them.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but this one, once again, it's from Angel Studios. It's the same guys, Sound of Freedom, Sound of Hope. They did Hard Miles, you know, those kinds of films.
Possum Trot.
Possum Trot, yes. So this one's called The King of Kings, perfect for Easter, rated PG, 1 hour, 45 minutes. You're going to get in this one. You get Kenneth Branagh.
Yep.
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
Uma, Oprah. Oprah, Uma. You get Oscar Isaacs is in this one. Ben Kingsley is in this.
Yes, he is.
And Pierce Brosnan is in this movie. And, you know, you hate to, you know, it's delicate subject matter. You hate to say it's a rehash of the story of the life of Christ, but that's really what it is. We talked about this after the movie was over. The only thing that frustrated me about it until I learned and read a little bit more is it just seems to me, and Ryan, you tell me what you think, Charles Dickens narrating this, he's played by Kenneth Branagh, kind of takes away from the rest of the story.
Well, yes and no. The whole story with around Charles Dickens is just weird. You know, he's telling the story to his child who basically ruined a show that he was doing.
Yeah, it's kind of
so
starts,
as his reward, he tells him a story.
It kind of starts with him doing a reading of A Christmas Carol on stage in London. And yeah, his son acts up.
Yeah, he rewards his bad behavior with a story.
Now, I had to do a little bit of digging on this one because it just didn't make sense to me. Charles Dickens did write a book called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It was never published when he was alive because he wrote the book for his children.
Yeah.
So this book wasn't published until like 1934,
okay,
long after he had passed away. But it is. It's the retelling of the story of Jesus Christ. It starts with, you know, Joseph and Mary going and finding the manger in Bethlehem, and then he grows up, and, you know, he starts. It's all stories that you've heard before. And then we do a real big time jump into when he's in his 30s, and then it deals with the story of Holy Week.
Yeah, it gets all the hits in there.
It does. All of it's there. And Ben Kingsley plays the high priest that, you know, I told my wife about this. I says, you know, when you look at back in history and you think back to, you know, I was raised Catholic. When I was a child, I was always kind of taken from the story that they tell at Easter time that Pontius Pilate is the villain in this story. He is far from a villain in this.
Which one was he?
He was Pierce Brosnan. He's the one that he was doing the will of the people. That's what they wanted. You know, he didn't want to do this to him. He did not want to condemn him to death. But the high priest, played by Ben Kingsley, got the whole crowd up and in an uproar and manipulated them. And then it was, you know, it was the crowd that chose the death of Christ. But like I said, Pontius Pilate, in fact, there's a very poignant scene after they've condemned him and he's condemned him to death, where he goes over to the bowl with water and he says, I wash my hands of this.
Yep.
And there's a lot of things like that that you're going to, you know, think back and remember from the story of Jesus and all of this stuff. And, you know, Palm Sunday and Good Friday and all of those things. So I would say really... I think that it would have been a stronger movie if we wouldn't have tied in the Charles Dickens angle. I get why they did it. I understand it now. But I think it would have been a stronger movie if they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, he didn't need to be in it.
Yes.
At all. In the story he wrote, he wasn't in it. This is a... We talked after the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it religious opportunism.
Yes.
And that's pretty much what this was. How do we get people to come to this movie? Because everyone, most people, I won't say everyone, most people know the story already.
Yes.
So if we throw a little Charles Dickens twist in there.
Like Oliver Twist.
Yep. We'll get people in there because how does Charles Dickens play into this?
Right.
And he really didn't. The story he wrote... He wasn't in it. None of this. This is just all made up to sell that. Oh, he wrote a story about this.
And the one thing, and I usually don't get this nitpicky, and I brought it up to you when we were out there talking about it. I said there are scenes in the movie where they're there for the reenactments of what's going on with Jesus, and they are part of the crowd, and the crowd interacts with them. And then there are scenes in the movie where. They don't know they're there.
Yeah, they can't see
it. I don't understand that. I get the symbolism of him looking at his dad as Jesus Christ. I get that part, you know. You know, they put him on a pedestal and everything like that. Because there are times where Charles Dickens is walking through the streets and all of a sudden it turns into Jesus and then it turns back into Charles Dickens. And you know. But
when they were looking for his cat.
Yes. So the movie itself, if you go in and you just go and take your kids and enjoy it for that, it's going to be great. You're going to like it. Animation is great.
The animation was amazing. There's a few scenes in this movie where it's just beautiful to look at.
Yeah, like I said, the ones that popped into my mind that night when he was looking out over the sunset.
Yes.
That was beautiful. And things like that. But it's just a great Easter story. And it's for the whole family. It really and truly is. It does not get into the graphics behind what happens to Jesus, you know, when he's crucified and things like that.
It touches on him, but it does, you know, like you say, it's not graphic.
Right. So, you know what? Go check this one out if you're into it. I'm going to give this one three. I think three buckets of popcorn for this one. It was an okay movie. I just feel like the Charles Dickens angle kind of pulled away from it.
The whole involving Charles Dickens was just weird. He didn't have to be there for that. But the animation, like I said, was amazing. There was a few spots in the story that was a little, like you said, it was a little like they know they're there. They don't know they're there. So a little, you know, inconsistency. But overall, I'm probably going to have to give this one two.
two buckets of popcorn. So go check this one out. Once again, it's in theaters right now. King of Kings from Angel Studios. Kenneth Branagh, Pierce Brosnan, Oscar Isaacs, Uma Thurman. It's a good time at the theater. Ben Kingsley. I mean, anytime you want to throw Ben Kingsley in there, even if it's just his
and
voice.
It's only an hour and...
Hour 45.
Hour 45.
It'll
so
keep,
your kids' attention spans won't wander off.
They won't. We went on family night, and I had one kid that ran the aisles for like 30 seconds, and that was the end of it. So it was, it'll keep them occupied, okay? All right, coming up, we're going to dive into a few more Easter movies, and we're going to do one segment that's for family movies and one segment that's for, you know, a little bit, we're going to raise the bar a little bit for them. You know, when you start talking about things like we're going to talk about with Passion of the Christ and those kinds of things, that's a little bit harder subject matter. But for the kiddos, we'll talk about Hop, and we're going to talk about Rise of the Guardians, one of my favorite movies. We'll talk about those
You're
when we come back.
Kid, Dave.
I am a big kid. When we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
Welcome back in to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. And now we're going to spend some time talking about different Easter movies. This grouping is going to be for the kiddos, right? The kids' Easter movies. Easter is actually tomorrow, obviously. So it's time to start talking about some stuff. And do you guys have, as a family, do you have like any Easter traditions or anything like that? Do you get ready to get together for like a family meal or do anything like that? Or is it just really another Sunday?
We have dinner and eggs.
But do you do that on Sundays anyway? Do you get together as a family on Sundays? Some people do. Some
minus
families do.
Minus the eggs, yeah.
Minus the eggs. So it's not much different.
No, well, it's the first, you know, it's the first time of the year where if you want to do like a big barbecue or something,
right,
you can go and do that. You know, when I was younger, we used to go, the whole family, you know, not just my family, but like my extended family, we used to go on a trip somewhere,
yeah,
either to the desert, Lake Powell, or even to Lake Mesquite or Wendover. You know, we'd go and do something as a big family, but over the years, it's been kind of just nonchalant, and so, yeah.
See, and this year, with it being as late as it is, we're celebrating both of my daughter's birthdays because they're coming up next week.
Oh, nice.
So that's what we're doing on Easter Sunday. But here we're going to talk about a couple of movies. The first one up is Hop.
Happity hap.
Comes out in 2011, rated PG, 1 hour, 35 minutes, and it's on Peacock.
Yes.
You can watch it right now. Russell Brand, if we haven't canceled him yet, is in this.
I don't necessarily know if he's canceled, but he's definitely dropped off.
He's got to be well on his way.
Yeah. He turned into like this activist for a while, and then he didn't do a very good job at that, and now he's just kind of there.
Right. James Marsden is also in this one.
Yep.
And Elizabeth Perkins is in this. The tagline or the synopsis on IMDb is EB, the Easter Bunny's teenage son that's voiced by Russell Brand, heads to Hollywood, determined to become a rock and roll band drummer. In L.A., Fred, James Marsden, takes him in after the out-of-work slacker hits EB with his car. So this is a great, even though we have somebody that gets hit by a car and, you know, you got all this other stuff going on, this is a fun movie for kids. It really
it is. You know, you forgot someone who was in this one.
Oh, who we got?
Penny from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, and Hugh Laurie actually plays Russell Brand's father.
Yep.
So I guess that would make him the Easter Bunny.
Yep. Yeah, Gary Cole's in it. I always slaughter her last name. Kaylee
Cuoco.
Yeah.
I guess. I've never been told that I was wrong.
Hugh Lars is also in it.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie plays his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, this is a great kids movie. It's a lot of fun, and it deals with, you know, the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one thing that you can take away from this. And as I says, it's on Peacock, so you can sit and enjoy this one with the kiddos and relax and have a good time with it.
Yeah, you know, it's got a good story. Basically, you know, the Easter Bunny didn't want to be the Easter Bunny.
I don't want to. He doesn't want to take over the family business.
Nope. But you know, he meets his good buddy James, and he's been James Morrison's been in a lot of movies where he has like an animated sidekick.
Yeah, this is the Sonic movies.
Yeah. Hop, and there was one other one. I swear there was one other one.
Was there another one where he was too busy not being Cyclops to be that? I don't know. I know he wasn't. It was Reynolds was in Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
So, but James Marsden is in this one, yeah, as the guy that kind of helps out. Sounds to me like they both help out each other.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about, friends to make things happy.
Friends forever. Oh, that's Saved by the Bell.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes you got to just go off on tangents like that.
That's true.
You got to love.
I thought there's one, but I can't seem to find
it. But I think he's been in every Sonic movie, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... He has plenty of experience dealing with cartoon characters.
Yes.
And that and the like. Now, another one that it's on the edge. The Easter Bunny is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie actually came out around Thanksgiving time when it was released.
Well, it has to do with all the holidays.
Yes. But the Easter Bunny is in this, and it's Rise of the Guardians. It came out in 2012. It's rated PG, 1 hour, 27 minutes. And this one's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman plays the Easter Bunny in this one. Isla. My wife's not here to correct me.
This was before everyone knew he could sing.
That's true. Isla Fisher, Alec Baldwin, Chris Pine, and Jude Law. Jude Law plays a great villain in this one.
He does.
Very, very cool. When the evil spirit Pitch, that's Jude Law, launches an assault on Earth, the immortal guardians team up to protect the innocence of children worldwide. And like I said, this is really, and you brought it up, it's really a good movie anytime.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is, you know, kind of centers around Chris Pine's character as Jack Frost. He feels kind of underappreciated. You know, that seems to be the go-to story with Jack Frost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've seen the Tim Allen Santa Claus movies.
Yes.
Jack Martin Frost Short. Is underappreciated and tries to take over there. And in this one, basically, he just doesn't care anymore. He's kind of given up, and then he kind of gets recruited to help. Great film. I know Jordan's favorite person, Alec Baldwin's in this one.
Yes, he plays Santa Claus in this. Yeah.
I thought he did a good job.
I like
it. He's got the raspy Santa Claus voice.
Well, and
this.
It's a different portrayal of Santa Claus.
Yes.
Because you see him as, and you know, everybody plays it straight, and he went with this very heavy accent.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he does. He does a great job as Santa Claus. And, of course, as we said, Hugh Jackman plays the Easter Bunny.
He plays an ornery Australian or / New Zealand Easter Bunny who has a boomerang. Mm-hmm. And the eggs, I thought the eggs were kind of creepy because the eggs would sprout legs and start walking around.
That's nightmare fuel.
And he would like talk to them and they would like walk around and color themselves basically through like little magical waterfalls or whatever and draw on each other. And it's just weird.
It's just nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
It really is. But yeah, this was a very fun movie. It was. And it deals with, as we said, not just the Easter Bunny, but you've got, you know, you've got Santa Claus and you've got Jack Frost in this one. And Jude Law plays this character like Pitch that's almost like kind of, I would almost call him like a Sandman type character.
Well, there's a Sandman in it.
Yeah.
Pitch is the darkness, if
yes.
I recall.
Yep.
Yeah. So he worked with the Sandman. But, you know, he was kind of like Chris Pine's character, Frost, who underappreciated. You know, most people are scared of him because, you know, it's dark. A lot of little kids are scared of the dark.
People don't like the dark.
No.
They don't. I know you don't.
Only when I'm on the ocean, I'm staring down into the darkness.
I know you're afraid of the dark. It's okay. It's okay. You're Canadian.
My office is in a cave.
You're Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
You hate the dark.
Oh, sorry there. It's fine.
So
No one likes the dark.
Okay, so we can check that off. We worked on How I Met Your Mother reference into this show.
It took me a second to realize what you were doing, and then I got it.
And check that one off. So there you go. Show 97, How I Met Your Mother reference. Check. All right, so yeah, go check those ones out. Once again, Hop, that is on Peacock that stars Russell Brand and James Marsden.
Yes, hop on over and watch
that. Hop on over and watch that one. And then Rise of the Guardians is on Netflix, and it's a lot of fun as well. Now, coming up, like I said, we had thought about calling these adult Easter movies, but I thought twice.
Yeah, we're going to get adult.
Turn down the lights and do, right? But no, I went with grown-up Easter movies. Oh, one of them, man. If you ask Ryan, one of them is kind of controversial.
Yeah.
But the other one is definitely an Easter movie.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
All right, imbeciles. Everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 3. And action.
Welcome back for the final segment here on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. And now we talked about the kiddos. We had a lot of fun talking Hop and Rise of the Guardians.
Now it's adult talk.
Now it's time for adults. Yep. And we're going to talk about one. The first one on the list is very controversial if you ask Ryan. And I don't understand. They always play it on TV at Easter time, and I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. Okay, this movie is rated PG, came out in 1956. Okay, get this, and this is why. Yeah, it's rated G. So what you're, I know there are people out there going, well, why isn't it listed as a kids movie? It's not listed as a kids movie because it's 3 hours and 40 minutes long.
That's a long movie.
That's a long time to keep a kid interested. Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner. And Baxter, Vincent Price is even in this one. Edward G. Robinson is in this. Moses was raised as the Prince of Egypt in the Pharaoh's household, and then he learns his true heritage as a Hebrew and his divine mission to deliver his people from slavery. As I said, this movie is on every year at Easter. My wife has watched it religiously every year at Easter, so much so that I just bought her the DVD.
I can understand it being a tradition, but it's not an Easter movie.
It's not. It doesn't deal with that. This is Old Testament stuff.
Yeah.
So here's some cool, you want some cool facts? I found some.
Fact me.
Okay. In 1956, this movie cost $13 million to make, which at that time was the most expensive movie ever made.
Oh, yeah. It looks beautiful.
Oh, sure.
Cecil B. DeMille. For that time period.
Cecil B. DeMille. If you're curious, also, $13 million in 56 is about $153 million today.
Yep.
Okay. At the theaters when it was released, it grossed $65 million. So, today's money. And think about this. That is a huge blockbuster. If the budget was $153 million,
mm-hmm.
this movie grossed $771.3 million in today's money.
That's a lot of cheddar.
That's a huge blockbuster for a religious film. But yeah, it has unbelievable performances from everybody that's in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Charlton Heston is a great, amazing. Yul Brynner, fabulous. Vincent Price, one of my favorite.
Charlton Heston basically, you know, wrote his, you know, he hitched his star to this movie and has become famous off of this movie alone.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying that he's not a fantastic actor, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as Mike Myers is concerned, he's probably the best actor ever.
The only movie I can honestly say is not very good for Charles Heston is Soylent Green.
Soylent Green is okay. It's just a little different, that's all. And it's people. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Soylent Green is people.
But, you know, you can't go wrong with Planet of the Apes either.
You can't go wrong with that. And Omega Man?
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong with that. Omega Man was I Am Legend before I Am Legend was I Am Legend.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you've never really looked at the filmography of Charlton Heston, you're in for a treat. Because this guy is a fantastic actor. Probably, pound for pound, one of the greatest actors in American history, I would say.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with you.
But then you put Yul Brynner right next to him in this
yeah.
one. And the ladies
This would be an all-star cast today.
The ladies had something for Yul Brynner back then. That man was just with that deep voice, and now you know why I shave my head.
It wasn't just the girls.
Now you know why I shave my head bald all the time. Yul Brynner is an amazing-looking gentleman, and I can say that. I'm you know, I'm secure enough to say that.
Oh, good for you.
Yep. And Vincent Price, like I said, Edward G. Robinson is in this. But it just deals with, you know, him figuring out where he has truly come from, is from, and leading the, you know, the slaves out of Egypt. And it has, you know, the big scene and with the parting of the Red Sea and all those things.
With all these, you know, they didn't have CGI back then.
No.
So all these effects, they did the old school, the paintings, the glass paintings. And, the you know, they shined a little mirror effect to make it look like the water was moving.
And we sit here and we talk about this cast. It was nominated for 13 Academy Awards. It won one Academy Award for special effects. And it should have.
Yeah.
Back then.
But it should have won more.
It should have absolutely won more. If you want a little bit of an updated version of it, in 1998, they did an animated feature called Prince of Egypt that starred Val Kilmer, Ralph Fiennes, and Michelle Pfeiffer. That's kind of along the same lines as the story from the Ten Commandments.
Well, there was also another one. What was the name of that one? That one was the
Prince of Egypt.
Prince of, well, yeah, there, I swear there was another one that had Christian Bale in it. And the guy who played, who was in Warrior, he was also in it. He played the
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
Okay.
I swear.
I'd have to look that up, but and it has, it's a story that's been told more than once. Let's be honest, but it's a fantastic story, and that's why it gets retold and retold and retold. And as we talked about the fact that, you know, the effects in this movie are fantastic. The acting is unbelievable. The sets that were built for this movie, it's just crazy. And you think back to the fact that this movie was made almost 80 years ago.
It was Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Gods and Kings. Yep. Yeah. I remember that one now. So, I mean, there are plenty of other opportunities out there to catch movies like this. But watch that one. Watch the Ten Commandments. You know, you can find it on Prime. You've got to rent it, but you can find it. As I said, I think I bought the DVD for my wife for like $10 on Amazon. But it's definitely worthwhile, and it's
it might
worthwhile
take you
watch.
A while to watch it.
It might,
but it's good.
Once again, as we said, it's 3 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's okay. It's worth watching.
And it's an older movie, so it's gonna kind of progress. It's going to seem like it's slow, but it's going to kind of jump.
You might even get an intermission in this one with it being an older movie.
Well, not on TV.
Well, no, I mean if you got the DVD, they might even throw it in on the DVD.
I think they do.
Because did I tell you about that? We watched The Godfather 2 the other night.
Yeah.
My wife was watching it, and there's an intermission on it. And that was streaming, and there was an intermission.
Hmm.
So they just left it in there.
Well, yeah. Well, I bought the movie Patton. And yeah. It has an intermission as
yep.
well.
I remember watching the movie Patton, and then that intermission would come on, and it's just, yeah, just sits on the screen, it just says intermission, and there's a little countdown clock. Yep. So, yeah.
Then you get to go potty.
There you go. All right, and then the other one that is, I'll tell you what, I've watched it a couple of times, and I have even let my kids watch this movie, even though some parents may shy away from letting their kid watch this movie. The Passion of the Christ, 2004, rated R, 2 hours and 7 minutes. I really felt like it was longer than that. I'll be totally honest with you.
Now, I haven't seen this one, but I did watch the other one Mel Gibson directed.
Which one?
The one about the Aztecs.
Oh, yeah. Apocalypto.
Yes,
Apocalypto. My wife loved that movie.
And the filming style is very similar.
Yes, it is. If you haven't seen The Passion of the Christ, it is a great movie, and this is a perfect time to watch it. It is, honestly, a little bit brutal.
Yeah, it goes...
And that was graphic. One of the things that, you know, a lot of people... he got into trouble with a lot of people. They didn't think that it needed to be this way. Anyway, James Caviezel, Monica Bellucci are probably the only two names and the only two people that you will recognize in this movie. Directed by Mel Gibson, depicts the final 12 hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth on the day of his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Now, this is still the highest grossing foreign language or subtitled film in U.S. box office history. And it's also the highest grossing religious film worldwide. And then up until last year, it was the number one highest grossing R-rated movie of all time at the domestic box office.
Ooh.
Until Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah!
Took it out. And it is also listed, this, and of course, this came out a while ago. It was in August, or it was in June of 2006. Entertainment Weekly rated it the number one most controversial movie of all time.
Really?
Yes. And like I said, I can understand why people feel that way about this movie. This is a rough watch.
Because well, it's a very sensitive subject
matter.
It
is, and it's very graphic, and it is a no-holds-barred account of what happened to him the last 12 hours of his life.
Yeah.
With him being, you know, caught in and basically arrested, with him being brutalized as far as being just completely beaten and whipped before they... The before he carries the cross, it's brutal.
Yeah,
it really is.
We watched a kid version earlier this week.
yeah, we did. We took it a little, you know, we kind of relaxed, and it was just the kiddos version wasn't as bad. But this one, it's still a great movie. It really is when you look at it.
Oh, the cinematography
and look at what Mel Gibson was able to do. And the things that he has done. Now, they are supposedly going to come up with, they're going to have a sequel to this movie. Mel Gibson is attached to direct it. I keep hearing things about it, but that's as much as I've heard.
They're going to make a sequel before the book comes out?
The book's already out. I think they're going right back to the original source material for this one. But as I said, it is a fantastic movie. And I think if you are an adult that raises your kid like a person and not as a child that needs to be sheltered, does that make sense?
So more as a child and not as a buddy.
Right. If you raise your kid as someone that needs to be sheltered, then probably you shouldn't let them watch this movie. But if you raise your kid as an equal, as someone that, you know, can talk, you can talk through it with them while you're watching it. Let's put it that way. I would say it's okay to let kids watch it. Because we did.
Okay.
And it wasn't, like I said, though, there is stuff in there that's pretty graphic.
What's it rated?
Brutal.
R?
It's rated R, yes.
So it's not for kids.
It's not for kids. But, well, if you're under 18, you have to be accompanied by an adult.
Was this the Minecraft movie?
No, I'm just saying that's what rated R means. So, but no, it's a great movie. You can check that one out as well. You know, Ryan, we got a little bit left here. Let's talk WrestleMania we don't get into it as much as you do, but you don't either too much.
Jordan gets in it
Jordan's a closet WWE guy, I think.
Yeah.
We were talking about WrestleMania and that, of course, going on this weekend down in Las Vegas at Allegiant
Stadium.
Going
on tonight.
Is WrestleMania.
Yes.
Big, big deal. And the WrestleManias, do they only have one a year now?
Well, yes, one WrestleMania, yes.
Yes, one a year.
One a year, but two nights.
Two nights. And it kind of, it's not like, I want to try and think of how you could kind of relate it to something. It's like
this is the Super Bowl for wrestling.
Okay.
WrestleMania is the big event. They have other live events every month, but this is like the big one.
And we talked while we were discussing all this, you know, WrestleMania is a big thing, and we were talking about some, you know, wrestling movies, and the one that comes to mind, and you haven't seen it yet.
No.
You probably should really, really watch Iron Claw. It is like when we were watching it,
the way you guys have been describing it and telling about it, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah,
apparently it's really sad.
It is a majorly sad movie, but you're just like, what more can they do to these people? It is a true story of the Von Erich family. And like I told my wife, because she watched it for the first time the other day, I don't remember any of the other ones. I remember the Texas Tornado. I remember him.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of the other brothers. But this is just a gut-wrenching movie of what this family goes through.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It really is.
I'd have to say the two other wrestling movies that come to my mind when I'm thinking about wrestling movie is the first one is The Wrestler.
Yeah, with Mickey Rourke.
Even though I don't like Mickey Rourke, that it's an amazing movie.
He's about to get canceled, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading that the other day. But anyways, then also the other one is Ready to Rumble.
Which, who's in that one?
David Arquette.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. No, you don't want to talk no holes barred?
No.
Uh-huh. You don't want to talk about, what is it, Mr. Nanny with Hulk Hogan?
Those aren't wrestling
movies. I know they're not wrestling movies, but, Hulk Hogan's a wrestler.
Yeah, but he's a wrestler in a movie.
Yeah.
I'm talking a movie about wrestling. About wrestling.
About wrestling?
About wrestling.
You want to wrestle me, Lawler?
I know Scooby-Doo did a wrestling few episodes.
Yeah.
Even Simple Plan was a part of it.
Oh, well. Edgy.
Yeah.
So if
try to get the kids.
So if you had to pick, okay, let's do this. If you had to pick one wrestler that is like your end all beat all, okay, yeah, I like him. Who
you want to do? Let's do the Mount, your Mount Rushmore.
My Mount Rushmore. Okay.
So there, Rushmore is five people, right? Or four?
Four.
Okay. Let's. What is your Mount Rushmore?
Well, you would have to put Hulk Hogan on there.
Okay.
I think for what he is meant, you'd also have to put John Cena on there. Maybe Dusty Rhodes. And the other one that comes to my mind, because that was like one of the first wrestlers that I remember watching when it was just on TBS and it was like 20 people in a studio audience. I was a big Junkyard Dog fan.
Okay.
I love Junkyard Dog.
Okay.
I know I'm leaving off like Rowdy Roddy Piper and Macho Man Randy Savage and, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Andre the Giant, those would be my four, I think, I would go with.
Yeah, so for me, I really didn't get into wrestling until right before the Attitude Era. So this is like 95, 96-ish mm-hmm. area, right around that general time. So, like, Jordan's a big fan of, like, old school wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, that's his generation.
Yes.
That's not necessarily, I know about them, but that's not really my generation.
Okay.
So my Mount Rushmore, Macho Man.
Yep.
Definitely. Shawn Michaels, Sting, and Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Yeah, that's not a bad performance. No. That's not bad. And that's the great thing about it. You can't be wrong.
Yeah, yeah, you can't, everyone has their own, and it's, as long as you're not an arrogant, egotistical person, let them have theirs, you have yours, it doesn't matter.
That's right. See, it all works out in the end. Everything's going to be safe.
Let us know your Mount Rushmore in the comments.
Who is your Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Wrestling.
Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
Andy Kaufman. Throw those two.
I'm guessing that Jordan's would be Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, the Undertaker, and who else would Jordan pick? Because I know those three would be on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe did you say Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah,
I was gonna say he'd probably be in there for him.
Maybe The Rock. He talks about The Rock a lot.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And so since this is a movie show, let's talk about it. Best wrestler to become an actor.
Ooh. Dwayne Johnson's pretty good. John Cena's been doing a good job, too. Rowdy Piper was really good. I'm here to chew bubblegum.
Yeah, I agree. I've got to go with Cena.
Cena?
I mean, I like what Dwayne Johnson's done,
mm-hmm.
but Cena, I think, is a really good actor. I think he is, and some of the things that I've seen him in, he's very good.
You can't go wrong with Macho Man and Spider-Man.
That's true. That's true. And we're not even going to name Hulk Hogan from Rocky III.
Well, a lot of Hulk Hogan's movies were kind of... Yeah.
That's true. Thunderlips.
Yeah.
we're still with you, bro. We're still with you.
We got you, brother.
That's right. All right, we're wrapping up. That's going to do it for this week. Next week, a whole new set of problems.
Yeah.
Right? So get ready, have some fun, get out there and enjoy your Easter. And until then, go see a movie.
And that brings us to the end of this week's journey. But don't worry. Dave and Ryan have more movies to watch and more opinions to spew next week. You can relive today's episode at CastleCountryRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on Ryan and Dave's Movie Review.
Ah, the hell with it. Send it in, we're done. See you next week.